A little bit of ground to cover here, and it's all fascinating. We'll start with Kelly Pope. She's in our studio. She's an associate professor of accounting at DePaul University.
Oh, good job. People love accounting talk.
Hey.
That'll be really interesting.
Hey!
Oh, boy, this is a real barn burner. Kelly, welcome back. How are you?
I was good.
I don't invite you back, but that I don't love you and the work that you do. You and I first discovered each other. That is, I found out about how you told the story of
Rita Cronwell and the City of Dixon with the documentary All the Queen's Horses.
Which was just not only a great movie, but you really told it. I mean, the work that you did on this and the people you got to tell the story of how this woman in Dixon, Illinois, ripped that town off for years to right. the tune of how much money?
$53.7 million. And that's a conservative number.
$53 million. That little town's roads weren't patched enough. The cops weren't given the raises they deserved because $53 million went into her pocket, her show horses, her fancy lifestyle.
Absolutely.
You told that story in the documentary. You are doing podcasts now called Nothing But the Truth, and the podcasts focus on what?
It focuses on crime and fraud stories and corruption and finding the truth of those.
When I heard that you were doing that, I thought, no, you can't do that because there's only going to be one Rita Cromwell story. There's only going to be one, wow, if I could just drill down, I'd have that and we could make it a movie or a podcast. But you're cranking these out left and right.
Absolutely. I've teamed up with a great group of people, Abby and Tim, and so we find these amazing stories and find the truthness of those stories.
Abby Ellen is a journalist. You may have read her New York Times column, which was called, I want to say, Preludes? Preludes. Welcome, Abby. So you wrote for the New York Times for years. How did the two of you get together?
We met very randomly, but I am writing a book about deception, and it's called Duped. And Kelly and I were introduced because of her interest in fraud and my interest in deception, and they kind of are married together. So that's how we met.
You've got a book coming out by that title.
I do have a book, Duped, yes.
So it's your story or a bunch of stories of people who were duped?
It is both. I was engaged to a man who turned out to be a pathological liar and went to prison. And I left him before that came out, so I win, sort of. But and then I interviewed many other people and have spoken to many other people who've been deceived, and also people who are deceivers.
Is it people who are duped by Nigerians who are doing internet fraud, or people who are involved in affairs of the heart, and their heart is what leads them astray?
It is people who have been deceived by people close to them, whether it is, in fact, their partner or their brother or their neighbor or their friendly radio host. We don't know.
And is it deception in terms of monetary?
But everything. I look at everything. I look at monetary. I look at love. I look at you name it.
What's the common thread? Is it a certain personality type that allows them to be deceived?
There are two common threads. One is that they're really, really, really good. Some people are really good at lying.
The deceivers.
And the other thing is that we all deceive ourselves. And we believe what we want to believe and we see what we want to see. Hmm. And especially when love is involved and the heart is involved, you don't want to know that the person next to you is not quite who he or she seems to be.
Would you say that the town of Dixon was duped? Were they a little complicit in wanting to believe?
I would say yes. They wanted Rita to be this this queen. And she had a lot of respect and actually still has a lot of respect. A lot of people think highly of her, even post $53 million theft. So I think they wanted to see what they wanted to see.
Doug Williams is in our studio. He served 2 years in prison for coaching people on how to pass polygraphs. He's a former Oklahoma City police officer. Doug, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you.
So how did you all line up? Kelly, how is it that he is part of our little circle?
Abby told me about his story, and he came, flew in from Oklahoma City to join a group of DePaul students this afternoon to share his story. And I called Abby, and Abby came from L.A. to share the story, and I called Tim to come down and do this recording for our podcast, and Tim's also from the All the Queen's Horses team as well. And so that's how we all got together.
Tim's your sound guy. He's sitting over there. Hi, Tim. So, Doug, tell me your story. What were you doing?
Well, I refer to myself as the only licensed polygraph examiner who's ever told the truth about the lie detector. And it's been almost 40 years ago now that I launched a crusade against what I describe as the insidious Orwellian industry I have proved many, many times that the polygraph is no more accurate than the toss of a coin in determining deception. I have proved it in many other forms. I was in 1986. I was on CBS 60 Minutes, and we did a sting on the polygraph where we showed that 3 out of 3 different polygraph examiners called three different innocent, truthful people liars on a crime that never even happened.
So that was your belief, and yet you were administering polygraph tests as a police officer?
I administered polygraph examinations from 1972 to 1979.
What did you do with the results? As you were taking these tests and deciphering the results, what did you do with them? Did you pass?
I never used the results of the test itself. I did, however, very effectively use the polygraph as a prop for an interrogation. I was a great interrogator, and
it says here you're lying or you're telling the truth and would manipulate the person you're asking questions
to.
To a
degree, but I would. Most of the confessions that I got and I received before we even gave the test. I would make the polygraph into the bad cop, and I would be the good cop, and I would tell them, you know, let's get this straight before I don't want this. You don't want to have this polygraph called you a liar.
Well, this is all interesting, but I don't see how this gets you into jail. What got you put in jail for a couple?
I'm
years?
Still trying to figure that out myself. The man behind the whole investigation of me, it was called Operation Liebusters. There's quite a bit of information on the internet about it. The man was an investigator with the federal agency, and he came out and said in the public forum with the American Polygraph Association people, said that he's going after Doug Williams because Doug has protested the loudest and the longest against the polygraph.
Were you coaching people how to beat the test?
Oh, yes. I'd done that for
Is that against the law?
There is no statute that prohibits me
from
teaching.
Why did this guy go to jail then?
That's the $53 million question.
Or the $4 billion question, since that polygraph industry is $4 billion industry.
So do you two think that polygraphs like he are not reliable?
I have a chapter. That's how I got to Doug in the first place. I talk about this in my book, and I have a whole chapter on polygraphs and interrogation skills, and there are other ways that you can determine if somebody is lying. And you know what the option, what I have concluded and what people have told me, it's gut. You trust your gut. You get that little feeling in your stomach that something's off. That's the best, short of doing what Kelly does, which is, you know, the putting the numbers
look
together
at the books.
And the trail. Exactly. Short of doing that, you have to go by your gut.
What do you say about this?
Well, given that I was once accused of lying, and I thought, I'm going to get a polygraph test. And I thought, yeah, I passed a polygraph test. I felt like I had accomplished something until I met Doug. So now, I don't know.
That worries me, to be honest with y'all, because I think, like you, suppose I was accused of lying. I think I would be nervous enough about telling the truth that I'd set the bells and whistles off.
Absolutely.
And
that's right.
I'd be my own worst enemy. Is that what you're trying to tell us, Doug?
Exactly. The polygraph is based on a faulty scientific premise. The polygraph industry says that the polygraph is accurate 95 to 98% of the time as a lie detector. The problem with that is that the reaction that they would brand as a liar, increased blood pressure, erratic breathing pattern, increase in GSR, sweat activity on the hand, all of those reactions can be caused by any number of innocent stimuli.
Are they admissible in court? Does it depend on the state? How does that work, Polly?
The only state in the union that actually requires polygraph examinations or at least admits them as evidence in a court is New Mexico. And it's an interesting side note. I was just contacted about a month ago from a assistant district attorney in New Mexico who is wanting me to testify about how the polygraph should not be admitted into evidence because it's not accurate or reliable. I explained to him that I am a convicted felon now, and I didn't know if he would want to bring me into court. And he says, I'm very well aware of that, but he said, you are also the premier expert on this, and the mere fact that they threw you in prison for teaching people how to beat the test is prima facie evidence the polygraph is worthless as a lie detector.
So would you say that I could hook you up to a machine and you could get the needle to go whichever way you wanted.
I can write my name on that polygraph chart.
And make it lie.
I can make...
Or make it tell. Okay.
Absolutely.
And could you teach me to do that?
In 5 minutes or less.
Like, say, I did not kick my dog today. You asked me, did I kick my dog today? And I'm going to say I did not. But you could... It would probably be easier to coach me to make it look like I'm telling the truth, right? So if I knowingly tell, like I did kick my dog today, and say, John, did you kick your dog today? You could coach me so that I'll say, no, I didn't, and it will affirm my lie. You could coach me how to do that, right?
Absolutely.
Is it like this? Even breathing, focus. Is it stuff like that?
Simple. Very simple maneuver. Very simple maneuver. And it's a really interesting parlor game the polygraph is, but when you stop and think about how many hundreds of thousands of people have had their lives ruined by these charlatans who purport to be able to detect deception with this instrument. Now, are you aware that in almost every government agency they require polygraph examinations as a condition of employment and continued employment with periodic tests?
Okay, but maybe I'm not so upset by that. We're visiting with Doug Williams. 2 years he served in prison sentence for coaching people how to pass a polygraph test. I guess you're not supposed to do that. He's a former Oklahoma City police officer. He is the subject of a podcast that you've heard us talk about here on WGN Radio. It's called Nothing But the Truth. And the hosts of that are Kelly Pope from DePaul. She's been in our studio before. And Abby Ellen, the journalist and former New York Times columnist. She's also an author. But so say it's only 70% accurate. I guess my point is this. Do we all agree that it isn't it possible that it would be a good tool to have? Okay, it's not perfect, but let's see how you do anyway. Nothing's perfect. I mean, what do you, Abby, what do you make of that logic?
You know, what they say about polygraphs is that they're only as good as the interrogator. So if you get a really good interrogator, then they can swing things one way or the other. I think, you know, if you want to get somebody who takes a polygraph and then you say, okay, this is one of many tools we use and, you know, maybe we can discount it later. I'm not opposed to that. But if that's the only tool, I think that's really problematic.
I think I had a really good interrogator when I did my polygraph. He made me feel very comfortable. It took a long time, though. It was like a three-hour process.
What is the definition of a good interrogator? The one who can get what he wants or the one that gets the
truth?
Well,
that's a good question. It depends on what the definition of is, right? I mean,
what do you need here? Here's a scene, though, that I imagine. The person whose truth everybody in America wants today is Donald Trump's. And they want to know if maybe the Trump administration, the campaign, conspired with the Russians. And if he's going to sit down with Robert Mueller, I think a lot of us think it would be interesting if he was hooked up to the machine. Just for fun. Just for kicks.
But you have two things going on there. A, he could learn how to, you know, skew the results. But
he could
B,
not, but go
but
ahead.
But B, if you believe your lies, you will pass a polygraph.
Then he could.
If you believe, exactly. If you did not...
Isn't that fascinating?
Isn't that fascinating? It is frightening. And so if you are a certified psychopath who has no feeling of guilt and no conscience or whatever, you will just waltz out and, you know, you didn't think you did anything wrong. So you'll pass.
So what's the podcast that you all are going to do with Doug here then? What direction are you going to take that conversation?
I think we're starting with the history of what polygraphs do, and then his fascinating story. I mean, Doug has served in the military, the White House Situation Room, and just has this beautiful background and is the least likely person that you would ever think would end up going to jail for.
I thought you were going to say he has this beautiful hair.
He has beautiful hair.
He's like a Wella Balsam commercial.
He has a silver fox, for what it's worth.
He is a silver fox. Silver blonde fox.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Folks, I'm out of time. I don't mean to make light of that because this is fascinating and serious, and everything I just said about your hair is true, but the rest of this is more important. So, Kelly, when does this episode go up?
Tim, when does this episode go up?
Hey, sound guy. A couple weeks.
We put it on the radio.
But there are already episodes that I can find now.
There are. There's five. And hopefully six soon.
Nothing But the Truth is the podcast.
That's right.
It's free. Wherever you find podcasts, look for Nothing But the Truth with Chicago's own Kelly Pope, Abby Ellen from the New York Times, whose new book is going to be called Duped. It is. When the book comes out, let's have you on again as well.
That would be lovely.
You can come along as well.
All right.
But Kelly, I want you to come on every week or so, every month or so, as often as new episodes come out, and let's continue to follow Nothing But the Truth.
Sounds great. Thanks,
ladies, gentlemen, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Good luck to you all.